So the ending of the Gospel of John has been called the Book of Glory because the word glory appears over and over again. And what it means in the John 9 reading is God is glorified because Jesus did precisely what this passage says, loved his own to the end. So that the moment of his greatest glory was the moment when he was dying on the cross, because that was the absolute end, and that was his absolute persistence and consistency in his loving. Okay. I am, and this is probably not a surprise to most of you, a child of the 60s. I lived in the States at that time. It was an amazing period in human history. Deeply involved in civil rights, marching all over the place, anti-war protests. I was profoundly involved in the war on poverty. And of course, in the church, as a kind of summary metaphor for that whole period, we had the Second Vatican Council, the most profound insight of which is that the church is first of all a communion of equals. It is a communion of equals. You read the document on the church, that's what it begins with, the people of God. The church is primarily the people of God, and only later do you have this articulation of some kind of hierarchical overlay, if you will. I bring this all up because all three of these readings, it seemed to me, validate and substantiate that kind of experience, that what we thought we were doing in the 60s is summed up in what was called the Liturgy of the Free Church of Berkeley. You may remember the University of California at Berkeley was a hotbed of revolt and demonstrations and everything. And they actually created a church called the Free Church of Berkeley. And this liturgy began with this word, "Welcome to the Liberated Zone." A little pretentious, perhaps. But the impulse was right. Those people saw the great combination that pervades the whole New Testament, the whole Bible, that freedom and love are inseparable. It cuts every possible way. I am only free to the extent that I believe that I am loved. Only love liberates. Prior to that conviction, I live as I usually do, wary, fear-filled, cautious, self-protective. But to the extent that there is freedom, all those things granulate, they break away. So when Jesus is talking about a new command, it's not a new command, but this is also the Hebrew Bible. It's just that it's the extremity of love that Jesus represents. But you can say this is a new commandment. And this is the novelty. You know, there's the book of Revelation. This is what we really thought we could do. We could renew the world. We could create a new creation. You know, Woodstock. Huh? And there really was, and this is not just my fantasizing and idealizing of the past times. People really did think that we human beings were going to make it together. Together being the operative word. The sense of cooperation, sense of openness to the other, the sense of common effort. The problem, of course, is that we mistook the costliness of that effort of trying to live together. Certainly in the church we've seen massive retrenchments from that vision of things. We're coming perilously close to a restoration of the bad old days where we had this top-down direction of everything. And we're also to fall into line. But again, I think that the main problem with all of us idealists from the 60s that we didn't count the cost. Because in the 60s, there was not only this exuberance, this massive hope that we could really bring this off, it was also the decade of the major assassinations. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. And in a kind of weird symbolic way, the death of the two probably greatest exponents of this notion of community that the Roman Church produced for a long, long time. Dorothy Day died in the 60s. Thomas Merton was electrocuted in the 60s. But it's the costliness of loving. God really does want to make all things new, and the novelty is precisely this business of us human beings somehow making it together. A new commandment. But then, the book of Acts, these shadow. And they were happy because they had suffered for the kingdom. It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. In other words, the fracturing of all that wariness and self-defensiveness and that premature enthusiasm is going to be painful. But that's what Easter is all about. We're the fifth Sunday of Easter, almost the end of the Easter season, which is just supposed to be a highlighting what the Christian thing is all about. That by the grace of God, this will be possible, this renovation of creation, this joining of the human race. As one great writer put it, it's kingdom of heaven is the communion of saints become self-aware. Which means what? If we really do recognize our interconnectedness with each other. So, this dynamic of light and darkness, of exuberance and costliness. This is what we have to constantly be reminded of, and this is what these three fine readings, I think, suggest to me, even in a kind of superannuated child of the 60s, where those experiments so often failed. You know, the revolutionary becomes Wall Street stockbrokers. Energetically reinforce that vision, that this is what God is calling us to.